And there we go. The news wraps up. It does its whole piece from that sort of perspective. We're here live with the Midweek Drive Morning Edition and continue ever onwards with Gabriella Peralta in Gibraltar. How are you, Gabriella?
I'm good, thanks.
Yeah, that's right. I'm just checking because
I work today, so I'm having a great day. Yeah.
So I asked you 4 minutes ago, and obviously short-term memory these days can be you just don't know what's happening. So I see that Palm Sunday was celebrated at the Rock of Gibraltar. Clearly, we are in Holy Week, of course. It's Maundy Thursday, and how is the Easter period being approached as we have the conclusion of Lent in Gibraltar?
Yeah, I remember when I was in uni, we didn't really celebrate Easter at all, but in Gibraltar, it's quite Roman Catholic.
Well, you see, that's because obviously, you know, within the University of Lincoln Land, it's almost just, it's full, surrounded by heathens.
It's fair, like any students having to do, can you imagine doing a Good Friday lunch with...
It's not going to happen, is it? I mean, to be fair, actually, you probably wouldn't find many students here on a Good Friday, to be honest, because they'd probably sort of be away from that. But listen, you know, we're not here to obviously sort of discuss religious dogma and various other bits and pieces. I mean, Abigail, you're obviously doing your penance by actually writing lots of essays for Lent and so on, and I think that's good. You know, it's spiritually rewarding, and your reward will be great from that point of view. So good news there. And Ben, well, frankly, he's more worried about climate change, really, and that sort of point of view, and sort of taking
people all over.
Exactly. It's a way forward. So with obviously Gibraltar being a fairly tight community from that point of view, and clearly from that point, lots of thoughts presumably about our friends and colleagues in Paris and the Notre Dame catastrophe.
Yeah. Really sad what's happened, but I think it's just the roof in the end that's burnt. So it's not as bad as first.
Exactly. They can always rebuild and start again. I say the same after every Midweek Drive Morning Edition. We can always rebuild and we can start again as we emerge from the wreckage, probably on a Thursday around about 10 a.m. or thereabouts. Don't worry, life is continuing. Spring cleaning. Are you into spring cleaning, Gabriella? Or is that a crazy question given that now Frodo no longer lives with you, he lives with your parents, and therefore you don't have to actually deal with sort of molting dogs and such like?
I do love a good spring clean, and I've recently adopted the Marie Kondo method from Netflix.
Yes.
She really got me into folding all my clothes into tightly packed rectangles and stocking them vertically. So.
And do you give gratitude for the clothes that you've worn that you no longer wish to wear and say thank you?
I skipped that part. I thought that was too long, and I couldn't bear with just emptying out a whole wardrobe, a whole cupboard onto my bed and then working like that. I did the amended Marie Kondo method, which was less throwing things across the house because I didn't want to create such a mess.
This is good. Apparently 38.6 million British folk are expected to get their dusters out over the bank holiday weekend.
Who studies that? How do people know that? How do they know?
The words have been
good,
given.
Good question.
I have printed them out. I have worked through the whole thing. This was actually carried out by Opinion Matters throughout the month of March 2019. Research for the Crown Estates, effectively a £14 billion real estate business who have invested in finding out how many people actually like a good cleaning session. Apparently 27% actually say that helps them develop a fresh start. And this is one for you, Abigail. 22% of British folk actually clean purely to relieve stress.
Maybe I should try that out.
Yeah, this is
a lot of built up stress.
Yeah, in betwixt the sort of the dance farewells, the farewell performances, the coping with hamsters, the coping with various, possibly the cleaning.
The hamster can give you some sort of inspiration.
Mm. Oh, I like to think so. Yeah, work its way through that.
That's your Marie Kondo.
Yeah, that'd be good. We haven't found out what the weather is like for Lincoln from Gibraltar. So, would you like to share that piece of vital information with us, please, Gabriella?
Okay, so the weather today for Lincoln is highs of 18 degrees centigrade, lows of 7 degrees centigrade, and it will be a day of sunny intervals with a moderate breeze.
Live from Gibraltar, with or without her faithful friend Frodo, it's time for Gabriella Peralta on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition.
Are Easter eggs still as big over in Gibraltar as they ever were? Or is it a case of we don't deal with that kind of chocolate stuff? It's an easy way to actually poison yourself and give yourself type 2 diabetes, you know. Don't be silly.
We eat Easter eggs, but I don't know. I haven't got a single one this year.
No.
I don't think I'm going to get any. But... yeah, the older I get, the less Easter eggs
yeah,
I get.
Yeah, we don't use the O word,
Gary. Same with Christmas presents and birthday presents. And
you should get socks each year, Ben, do you not?
Socks, you know.
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, presumably Brighton at Hove Albion.
No doubt. Yeah, no doubt.
Socks on
or Man City ones, if they're from you.
Yeah. I always like to spread the word, despite...
Or a hamster. That's the other thing. Hamsters. Yes. That's your go-to present now, that you're just going to dish out to everyone, a hamster.
I think there's nothing wrong with sharing the love of an automated
That'll be the new Southside calendar. Rather than they actually giving out the calendar already, it'll just be a hamster through the post.
It has crossed my mind. But, you know, I'm just... It just depends on would it be cruel to the hamsters to send them through the post. That's the other biggest thing. Although I suppose, actually, to be fair, both hamsters actually arrived safely, but still. Never mind. Frodo, presumably... is he still thriving? I mean, no news is good news, I take it, Gabriella.
Well, I called up my parents yesterday to ask for him, and he spent the whole day sleeping on the sofa.
Yeah.
So he's that's his usual.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Default position.
He's not an active kind of dog.
Now, this is possibly, unless we can connect via Skype, which, of course, is not beyond the bounds of Discovery and various other bits of pieces. Although, having said that, when she's back in Canada, it will now be around about 1 a.m. in the morning, 2 a.m. in the morning. Well, how far behind are you in terms of...
Oh, 5 hours.
In which way? 3 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah.
Which, I suppose, bearing in mind that she's mostly in the library at 3 a.m. in the morning, I suppose it's probably quite feasible from that point of view. But it could be the last time you get a chance to speak to our Canadian Abigail LeMay for a wee while. So, Gabriella, have you got any sort of final thoughts of wisdom that you can actually pass on to our Canadian correspondent here, who has kind of come like a kind of meteoric thunderball through the ether of Siren Radio and will be sort of heading back, having sort of created chaos, disruption, and general disorder in a way that's much appreciated.
Okay, so what is she returning to?
I don't know.
Canada now?
I don't know what she's returning to.
Is this like
pool,
forever?
I think.
Is this
parents? Like, banking job?
Is this because what have you finished your.
Yeah, why are you leaving?
Yeah.
Oh, well. I guess, yes, because school is ending, because I have a job that I need to get back to, and because my visa will probably run out, and then
should be an illegal immigrant.
Forcibly removed. Yeah.
Well, that's exciting, though, that you've got a job and everything.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah,
you have the hamster. It's all right.
That's it.
He can make your money. He can buy your own things.
That's true.
There we are.
As
ever, Gabriella.
You can buy your own holidays and flights back to Lincoln.
Oh yes.
There you are. You
that's
see.
The plans.
So the message is quite clear. It's always going to be better. It will continually get better in every single way. Abigail, would you like to put those last two questions to Gabriella, please?
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
I have, thank you.
Wonderful. And will you be joining us again?
Yeah, hopefully next week.
So, Ben, we didn't ask you what are your views in terms of cleaning. Are you one of these people who effectively needs to spring clean dust and so on? Are you will be getting your duster out over the bank holiday weekend?
Probably not in my own flat, no. But I enjoy cleaning. Mm. I actually quite enjoy it.
Okay.
It's a change. And I think it's quite satisfying once you clean something.
Satisfying. Okay. Abigail, thoughts from yourself? Also, we've talked about it being a stress-relieving thing. Is it a case of you can't wait to get back to Canada and you will start spring cleaning like a whirling dervish?
Actually, I did tell my mom when we were on the phone the other day how excited I was to come home and clean the house.
Excellent. There we are. Well, the person who actually sort
you
of...
Know, you don't know what you got yourself in for now.
I know. It's really bad.
It works in more ways than one, as indeed does the Queen of Clean, the fantastically wonderful individual who is Lindsay Crombie. How are you, Lindsay?
Hi, good morning. Fine, thank you.
Excellent. Well, Lindsay, you've heard what some of our co-hosts in the studio were thinking about cleaning there from the more youthful perspective. Clearly as the author of How to Clean Your House and Tidy Up Your Life, not just one, two great things there, you might be able to actually sort of address some of the sort of thoughts about this. Why is it that, as a nation, Britain's so in love with cleaning?
I think cleaning's just sort of took a massive turn. It's sort of now become quite trendy. And popular. And I also think as well, if you look at sort of the mental health attitudes with cleaning, people are using it as a stress reliever. And sort of 22% of people actually clean these days, according to Crown Estates, because of stress.
We're talking to our Gibraltar correspondent, Gabrielle Peralta, a few moments ago, and she was saying yes, she's adopted the line of, obviously, giving thanks for all sorts of things, the Marie Kondo method and so on.
Yeah.
Is it a fad, or is there something that maybe, you know, we there's a thin line between cleaning for hygienic reasons and important reasons from that point of view and obsessive compulsive disorder?
I think it's a bit of both, if I'm completely honest with you. I think at the end of the day, when you live in a property, you do have to sort of maintain certain standards. And the old-fashioned sort of saying of a tidy house is a tidy mind, it is very, very true. If you live in quite a disorganised environment, it is very difficult to be productive. And I think as much as we love cleaning, we also love tidying and decluttering. And with all the Instagrammers at the moment, I think that's just spurring everybody on. And it's a bit like we are going back to basics. We're sort of taking more pride in what we have these days, which is great.
Abigail, questions and thoughts from yourself?
I'm actually really interested that you said that Instagram is becoming more important in cleaning, because I didn't realize until just now, but it's very true, because everyone posts kind of the best of everything, and
yeah.
I'm just now realizing that means everybody's room is clean, and when it's not well
They're received. Lying.
Yeah. Yeah, but some people will just be making a really nice, perfect corner and taking a picture. But it's good, the fact that they're now talking about it, people are sharing product reviews, people are sharing tips. I do a lot of the old-fashioned cleaning methods of using sort of lemons and bicarbonate of soda. But other people are sort of being torn towards going down to the local shopping centre. Fossey Park Shopping Centre has obviously M&S, which has got the great eco sort of range of cleaning products that's recently been released, which is just amazing because that's good for you as well. When you're cleaning, you're not breathing in all those highly toxic chemicals.
Ben.
Yeah, what do you find the biggest reasons are for people who don't perhaps clean or aren't as clean as others? Do you think it's a case of laziness or people have got other priorities, or is it sort of work, too much work and not enough time spent at home cleaning?
I think it's a little bit of everything. I think there are people that just generally don't want to do it and they'll wait for somebody else to do it. Some people feel that they can't do it. They may be hanging on to the past. They may have their own issues, they may be hoarding lots of bits and pieces, and they just need someone to sort of inspire them and to motivate them a little bit. I think, you know, with OCD, you know, obviously there's that end of the scale where we're obsessive about cleaning, but we have to think about people at the other end of the scale that find, for some reasons, they can't clean and they can't tidy up, and they end up living in, you know, quite bad conditions, which then sort of does affect them mentally quite badly, and it's quite a serious subject, and I love going in and helping these sorts of people.
So how would you actually encourage, Lindsay, folk who necessarily listen to this and think, oh, if only Lindsay could actually come and do the cleaning for me, etc. But obviously, you can't sort of delegate to that scenario. What sort of thoughts or tips would you actually offer our listener?
I think it's always important that people sort of have in their head it's about sort of developing a fresh start in life. When you start sort of tidying your home and spending, say, even 10 minutes every day, people will start to see a clearer picture. And I think that's really important. It's small steps for some people. Investing sort of a whole week into a big declutter and spring clean isn't always the right answer. Sometimes it's, you know, just get slightly motivated by somebody and then just continue that through. You don't have to sort of overwhelm yourself with cleaning, which is important. You know, it's, everybody takes everything at their own pace.
We mentioned, obviously, Marie Kondo, who has gone down a storm as far as Netflix is concerned, and her notion of actually giving thanks and being grateful from that point of view. Is there a spiritual element, Lindsay, to actually sort of develop in this as well, that somehow, you know, as we come into the season of renewal and so on, that maybe actually gratitude for things that we no longer need should be actually taken on board?
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, she's so right in a lot of what she does. If you've not worn something in the last 6 months, why have you still got it? And I think more and more people in the UK are now sort of listening to her and listening to others. Crown Research sort of shows that 27% of people do want to develop this fresh start this spring. And that's a huge sort of jump up in statistics compared to a few years ago.
Does this resonate with your experience in Canada, Abigail? Are there a lot of clean people in Canada?
Yeah.
It's a loaded question, obviously.
I would say there's enough clean people.
Can you ever have enough clean people? I don't know. Any other country that's actually there. I mean, actually, Lindsay, the point being, is this something which is uniquely British, or is this something which is kind of, it's a human thing, really? And whether this research is conducted in Britain, North America, Europe, other parts of the country, you're kind of going to get the same thing?
I think so. I think it's across the border these days. I think, you know, with everybody, if you look at your sets of friends, you know, put five on hand, you've probably got two or three that love cleaning and two that hate it. And I think that's across the border.
Any gender differences? I mean, I'm thinking, obviously, traditional blokes, we must admit, I hold my hand up here, can necessarily sort of say, oh, we'll do it tomorrow or something. Is there a sort of line where we tend to procrastinate more as opposed to women who will get on with it?
No, I think that's all changed. I think there are more and more men now picking up that mop and having a dance around the kitchen. It's not shameful for a man to clean in the slightest. And I think when you live in a busy family, it's about teamwork. It's about everybody pulling their weight.
Well, I can see, Ben Lewis, you're already sort of working out the dance routines just for that alone.
I practice every night, honestly.
You can lunge with that vacuum.
Yeah, wax on, wax off.
There we go.
Yeah,
all Mr. Miyagi.
Queenofclean.blog, obviously a fantastic place to go to find out more details from Lindsay and various other thoughts. Anything else you'd like to recommend, Lindsay, people should check out online to follow through what we've been discussing today?
No, I just think if people are struggling to get motivated with cleaning, you know, maybe do jump on to sort of and follow some of the Instagrammers, pick up some basic tips, and just go with the flow and have fun. That's the biggest thing with cleaning. Make it fun. Don't make it a chore.
And that is why Lindsay Crombie was the ideal place for this particular Queen of Clean slot, because she brings royalty, as Richard Fitzwilliams would say, to the whole notion of actually providing cleanliness. Next to godliness, of course. Very important.
Devotion, call it a mom's adoration, foundation, a special bond of creation. Ha! For all the single moms out there going through frustration, clean minded, China ball, and Marie thing made them air.
She works the night by the water. She's gone astray, so far away from my father's daughter. She just wants her life for a baby. All on her own, no one will come. She's got to save him.
Daily struggle.
She tells him, ooh, love, no one's ever gonna hurt you, love. I'm gonna give you all of my love. Nobody matters like you.
Stay up there.
She
Stay
tells
up
him,
there.
Your life ain't gonna be nothing like my life. Jay. You're gonna grow and have a good life. I'm gonna do what I got
Stay
to
up
do.
There. Come, you well prepared, and no mama.
shed tear, cause you upset things year after year, and you give the youth love beyond compare. You find the school fee and the bus fare. Mmm, when the pops disappear, in a wrong bar, can't find him nowhere. Steadily your workflow, everything you know, so you're not stop, no time for your dear.
Now she got a 6-year old.
Keep him warm, trying to keep out the cold. When he looks in her eyes, he don't know he is safe. When she says, she tells him, ooh, love, no one's ever gonna hurt you, love. I'm gonna give you all of my love. Nobody matters like you.
Stay up there.
She
stay
tells
up there.
Him your life ain't gonna be nothing like my life. Jay. You're gonna grow and have a good life. I'm gonna do what I got to do.
Worry not, Fitzwilliamettes people, Richard Fitzwilliams fans of the Richard. He'll be back just after 9 o'clock this morning, but we had to juggle a few other bits and pieces around, and that's why he's not in his usual slot now, orating, and why we've got some music happening on Siren Radio. Same thing will happen probably next week, or maybe not. It will be speech phase next week, because we'll be off to the North of England Horticulture Society Spring Flower Show. Well, I say we, that's probably going to be Ben and myself, and maybe, well, I mean, Abigail, we're going to actually be in Greece, so who knows what's going to happen from that point of view. Anyway, robots coming up next when we speak to the Chief Executive Officer of Octopus Investments. That'll be Ruth Hancock, talking about how reliant we've become on technology for the simplest of tasks, presumably including cleaning.
You've been acting awful tough lately, smoking a lot of cigarettes lately. But inside, it's just a little baby. Oh, it's okay to say you got a weak spot. You don't always have to be on top. Better to be hated than loved, loved, loved for what you're not. You're vulnerable, you're vulnerable. You are not a robot. Your love
Think I'm a robot. Then again, Marina and the Diamonds would probably be able to tell me if I were. Or would they? Would they be a recapture test? Who knows? Maybe you should take the Turing test. Maybe you should make it part of the show. Anyway, enough of such stuff. Hopefully now, fingers crossed and everything else, we'll be able to turn now to the Chief Executive Officer of Octopus Investments, the fabulous Ruth Hancock. Are you there, Ruth?
I'm here, morning.
Brilliant. I'm glad I trusted in the faith of the human spirit that the wonderful technical folk would actually get you there and you'd realise that we were just having a musical interlude there, heading into I Am Not a Robot and Your Good Self. And you're not a robot either, are you, Ruth?
I'm not, as far as I know.
Excellent. That's good. That's sorted out then. So, technology. How reliant are we becoming as a nation for even the most simple of everyday tasks? I mean, is it a case of if we don't have a robot to do our spring cleaning for us, it just won't get done, and we will just effectively sink down into a morass of mire and gunk and such like?
I wish I had someone to do the spring cleaning in my house. Sadly, that doesn't happen yet. So our view at Octopus is that we're using technology for more and more things, but there is still a big place for humans. So when we look at things like financial advice, health advice, we found in our latest research that 70% of people still don't trust technology to do that on its own.
That is a challenge, of course, because we think about robots, we think about automation. There's a whole stack of automation and journalism taking place now where robots are actually writing stories, number crunching and so on. But ultimately, they're following algorithms, they're following patterns and so on. Can they make their own intuitive decisions? Or if they start making their own intuitive decisions, we have this mythical notion of singularity. You know, we reach a stage where the robots will take over. And if you've seen any of the Terminator movies, you think, don't go there. Are we caught between the two stools, fear of robots and robots basically being not quite bright at present?
I think the two stools are a great place to be, actually. My view of financial advice is that financial advisors should be bionic. They should be like the Terminator.
Mm.
They should allow us to use technology for the bits that technology does well, gathering information, crunching numbers. But then when it comes to really important decisions, like what's important to me in my life, how should I think about my future, wealth, health and happiness, that's where humans come in, and I just don't think we're going to be in a position in the near future where we want to replace that.
Mm. We have two of the next generation of the human race actually with us in the studio from Canada, Abigail LeMay. Abigail has actually written a fantastic essay on robots, if I recall, and sort of technology and so on. So this is something which is kind of embedded in terms of your system. Any questions you want to put to Ruth about your own fears with respect to robots?
Let me think. I mean, I think robots my thing with robots is I don't like the idea that they're made to be kind of a human substitute. But I think technology is great. It's just I don't understand the point of trying to get a robot to be an individual. Why does it need to be singular?
Is this one of the challenges that we're going to be faced with in the 21st century? Abby's question there about robots as individuals.
I think you're exactly right, Abby. I think that there is still a big place for humans, and if we assume that we want robots to do absolutely everything, you sort of wonder what we're left living our lives doing. I mean, we find in the world of finances that 49% of people at the moment say they'd still prefer face-to-face. Now, I'd say the benefit of technology is that face-to-face might become over Skype. Brilliant, a bit more efficient, a bit more easy for people to fit into their busy lives. But when it comes to actually making complicated decisions, people like to talk about things. We're human. And if we seek to replace all of that interaction with machines, I think the world would be a poorer place.
Hmm. Ben?
I'd have to agree with both the comments. And I think it's interesting, really. I mean, I think technology will only go a certain distance, I think, certainly in our lifetime. But, you know, I find things like going to the supermarket, I can't stand going to self-service checkouts. They do my head in. They do my head in. And
unexpected item found in the bagging
that's
area.
That's the thing, but I just want to have, you know, human
please
contact.
Call for
and I think it's easier, and I think it's, you know, better and makes the experience sort of more enjoyable. But, yeah, I think technology, it, like both of you have said, really, I think it will almost sell us out as human beings. Like, what purpose do we have other than mending the technology?
Ruth, the voice there of a 22-year-old going on 86. but in terms of your own thoughts, I mean, the supermarket checkout thing, I've come to grow and I sort of appreciate supermarket automated checkout things. But what are your own views on that? Because it's another case of automation taking over as the machines.
It is, and I'm kind of with you. I actually find the automated checkouts quite useful. But then I think in other parts of our lives, we've seen a kind of growing backlash against things like social media and a worry among people that people aren't interacting face-to-face, and that's not actually very good for our mental health. So I'm kind of with you. I think that we need to make sure that we're drawing the line somewhere, and that line will be in a different place for lots of different people. Some people will always go to the go and tolerate the machine shouting at them about the bagging area because they want to do it quickly. And other people will want that human interaction. If you live on your own, if you don't have lots of people to speak to day to day, actually going to the supermarket and chatting to someone is a big part of your day, and to seek to get rid of that, I think, would be a real shame.
Although I would argue that sometimes when you're actually in a queue waiting to check out and you find that people are actually engaging in a full, detailed conversation in front of you, you tend to think, just come on now, you need to go, basically. Maybe that's just, you know, the good Lord testing my patience, that's all. You just have to relax on that.
Depends on your mood, I guess, though.
It's true, true. In terms of financial advice, from your own perspective, Ruth, do you think that machines will ever replace humans when it comes to managing our money? I mean, I'm thinking, would machines have let us get into the banking crisis of 10 years ago?
Machines have a definite place in financial services, and technology is helping people make decisions, manage risks in better ways. I think the thing about financial advice is you're dealing with humans. You're dealing with people who want to understand how money can help them live the lives they want to live. You also are dealing with people, some of whom find money a bit scary, and there's absolutely no shame in saying, I don't get this, I need some help with figuring out what the right decisions to make with my money are. I think that complex kind of emotional relationship we have with money in the foreseeable future will need some human interaction, and that we should use technology for the bits that technology finds easier, and keep humans for the complex discussions about the lives we want to live.
I think they're very sage words there, Ruth, and I think we've identified that we are still human across the base from that perspective. So have you had a reasonably interesting and human telephonic conversation with us this morning? Has it been okay for you, Ruth?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Excellent. And then finally, we need to obviously acknowledge, where can people go to find out further information? Would it be octopusinvestments.com?
Octopusgroup.com.
That's okay, octopusgroup.com. We hopefully will speak with you again in the very future, very near future, when we can be more bionic or otherwise. Ruth, we salute you. Take care now.
Many thanks. Bye.
the program.
Go on, battle those pink robots. It wouldn't be the Week Drive Morning Edition if we didn't have a recently returned from his time in the Mediterranean, keen author Ian Lennox back with us. So how are you, Ian?
Very well, thank you. I'm glad I got back in time to watch that match last night.
I mean, what can I say?
I didn't watch it. I wish I had, though.
I did offer him the chance of coming at 9:45. He said no, after the dentist, etc. VAR, you just can't trust it. That's all I say. You know, when you have VAR, blatantly shows
a
handball.
Such a sore loser, aren't you?
And it's just, you know, it's very painful, that's all. But, you know, when was the last time Newcastle United were up for a quadruple? I can't think they ever have been up for a quadruple. But never mind, that's a different line. It's all good. Did you enjoy the game, though, Ian?
At least I've got
Who wouldn't? I felt sorry for City, I must say. I think I was hoping they were going to win in the end because I think they're the best team in Britain at the moment.
Well, thank you. Exactly.
Unlike Brighton.
You once again raised that. Listen, Ian, it's Abigail LeMay's final show. You probably will not be able to speak to her when she's back in Canada, unless, of course, you fly over and catch up with her. What thoughts would you like to say to Abigail, who's just been blowing her nose to show how much she's a wonderful Canadian rite of passage, I think, that when a Canadian blows their nose in public in front of you, it means that somehow they're leaving a part of their mucus behind, which is great. Ian, thoughts for Abby?
I'm done with my breakfast, yeah.
It's okay then. Is that it? We'll sum it up there. And what are you having for your breakfast, Ian?
An omelette.
Nice. Yes. Are you an omelette person, Abby?
Yes, I love omelettes.
Right. Now, Canadian omelettes the same as British omelettes?
Maple syrup all over it.
Oh my gosh.
Do you actually?
No.
Oh.
No, though, we do sometimes do maple syrup on our bacon, which I think you guys don't do.
Okay. Yes, absolutely, yes.
There we are. In a few seconds, we will be talking about why a quarter of British people are encouraged to go on holiday this year because of Brexit, as opposed to being afraid of Brexit. A number of people are actually afraid of going on holiday exactly because of Brexit. And we'll be finding out this more. Apparently, top places to go for holidays in the UK. Number one, Ian, which one do you think it is?
Scarborough?
Strasbourg.
Very close. Whitby, very close to Scarborough.
Whitby?
Exactly.
Right. Yes,
top list from that point of view. Number 20, we actually have North West Wales, and Skipton in North Yorkshire is number 19. I don't see any Tyneside things here. We've got Devon, Cumbria, Isle of Wight, North Yorkshire, North Wales, Cornwall. We'll find out about that with Brendan Sheeran from Coach Trip and possibly Bob Atkinson from Sykes Travel. Ian, it seems almost remiss to put these two questions to you, but I'm going to ask Ben to do it. No, what the hey, it is Abby's last show. Abigail, last two questions, please.
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
Short but sweet. Only one quip about Manchester City, but I'm satisfied.
And will you be joining us again?
I do hope so, and I hope you have a lovely time back in Canada.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, don't think of her as kind of being lost to the world. It's simply a case of we're in Canada, who knows where. Where exactly in Canada are you going once again?
Ontario,
yeah. Well, you know, maybe we'll actually set up a midweek drive journey to actually go back to Ontario and actually see you there in all manner of wonderful ways.
That would be lovely.
And it would. Time, I think, for Cyndi Lauper.
Thank you.
You could probably say that human beings just want to have fun, really, particularly if we go on holiday, and with a quarter of British folk being encouraged to holiday in the UK this year due to, yes, it's the B word. I know, we've already mentioned it once on the programme today. Supposedly Halloween's treat, or perhaps Hallow Brexit. Never mind, we will move on to talk to two fabulous individuals. First of all, from the awesome series Coach Trip, it's the wonderful Brendan Sheeran. How are you, Brendan?
Good morning, Alex. How are you?
We're delighted to speak with your good self.
Thank you.
I tell you, Ben Lewis, he was beside himself with excitement when I said that you were on the show today.
Very, very big fan, I must
exactly.
admit.
Exactly.
Oh, that's sweet. Thank you.
And we also have Sykes Holiday Cottages travel expert Bob Atkinson. How are you, Bob?
Yes. I'm great, thank you.
Marvellous. This is great. So, Brendan, if we come to you first from that point of view, were you surprised by this, or is it a case of, no, the staycation is the way forward with a period where London's being shut down due to people gluing themselves to all parts of the capital? Clearly, this is where we need to stay at home.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, Alex, I drove up yesterday from London to Manchester, and I stopped at several service stations, and they were absolutely rammed with people travelling all over. People going down to Exeter, to Cornwall, and then obviously Oxford and the Cotswolds, and then the Cheshire area and Crewe. It was all going to Wales. And, no, everybody's on the move. But they say a quarter of the Brits are going to stay here, you know, for holiday, which is amazing, amazing.
Partly due, as we said, to uncertainty regarding the possible EU exit and so on.
Yeah.
Holidays at home are there from that point of view. And also the unusually warm weather. I mean, we hear about climate change, but actually, looking ahead to the weather forecast over this bank holiday, I know a lot of people I've been speaking to are saying it's going to be great, it's going to be fantastic. Bank holiday, sun's going to be shining, we'll be enjoying our location.
Yeah, I think it's going to be hotter than Ibiza, actually, apparently.
Well, there we are. Ben, any questions you'd like to raise at this point?
Yes. Do you think, I mean, obviously, seaside resorts and things like that and big towns...
Whitby, number one,
yes.
North Yorkshire.
They died out, obviously, in a few years ago as such. Do you feel like there's a revival coming back?
I do, actually, yeah. And, I mean, you know, our lovely resorts all around the UK, you know, a lot of people, I think... So many people will be heading to the beaches. You know, people that live inland in the UK will be heading to the coast. Mm. They love to take the children, you know, onto the beach, buckets and spades, get two deck chairs and sit there and have a wonderful time.
And it's not just these beaches that people are heading out to. Because when you look at kind of the most popular regions that are driving bookings this year, as the southwest is driving the bulk of the bookings for, you know, the summer period, those areas that are really driving people. So we like the inland scenery, you know, the lake,
mountains,
the hills. Because we like walking the dogs.
Bob, we just have to say, just slightly there, you're sounding a little bit off microphone. It's almost as if you've got big Brendan and little Bob in the background. It's all right, don't worry. Well, I think we could just about make out the gist of the whole system there. Let's turn to Abigail in the studio, because Abigail, you're Canadian. You presumably have had your fair share of coach trips and various other lines from that point of view. And any thought, I mean... As a Canadian, you clearly have not stayed at home. You've been over here, and you're off to Greece in a few days' time. You've been doing all of Europe, etc. What do you think of Brendan and Bob? They're sort of saying there's a lot of reason for staying at home.
I believe them. I think honestly, I've been doing a lot of traveling since I've been over here, and now that my exchange is coming to an end, I'm really disappointed in myself that I didn't do more traveling around the UK. I really did want to see Whitby. I wanted to see the Peak District and the Lake District, and I didn't even make it to Brighton. I'm sorry, Ben.
Shame on you, Abigail.
I'm really upset about it. And it's true, even, I think anywhere really, because people ask me a lot about different places in Canada, and I can't even say that I've been. I've only been in my little corner of things. Mm. So.
You'll have to come back, Abigail.
Oh, definitely. Definitely I will.
When you go back to Canada, Abigail, the thing you want to tell people about is, obviously you're going to tell them about the big cities and places in Europe that you've visited. Of course you're going to be. But you really want to go back and say, you know, if you're going to come to the UK... Don't just think about London, which is somewhere so many international people think of. Get out to the great British countryside. And whilst Canada has stunning scenery, I was over in Western Canada at the end of last year, come to the UK, go and stay in a cottage in one of our national park areas, or down in the southwest, and you will have an amazing, relaxing time meeting really friendly people and seeing and experiencing things that you just would never find in the big capital.
Right.
Mm. And I'm delighted to commend the technician at the other end of the line in Manchester for actually sorting out Bob's connectivity there, because Bobby's sounding much more human from that point of view.
I'm so pleased.
Exactly. It's wonderful stuff. Ben.
Also, just sort of an interesting idea, really. But obviously, a lot of Brits take a lot of coach trips as well within the UK. You see a lot of national coach holidays. Do you think for tourists, that would also be a very good idea to perhaps explore different regions that they've obviously not thought of going to? And obviously, they don't have to worry about rental cars and things like that. They've got it all there in one big package.
Yeah, because I think when you get on a coach, first of all, as well, you've got to remember a coach is a moving, it's like a moving little hotel, really, because you've got everything you need. You can even have a little wee-wee on the coach while it's still moving. You've got these massive, massive windows, and the whole of the countryside, you know, just goes by. It's amazing. And usually, you know, you have that, a coach driver slash guide or a coach driver and a guide. And they look after you. You know, they look after your luggage till you get to the hotel, to the resort, and they'll tell you all about the wonderful places you're passing on the way to your destination.
And do they have yellow and red cards as well at the end, or is that part
well,
of it?
Well, that's my job.
At the end of the day, there's only one person who could deliver the yellow cards from that point. It's Brendan.
There we go.
All
the way. You got that right. Otherwise, I'd be sending you one.
Exactly. In terms of the top 20 list, I mean, obviously, Whitby, Salcombe, Dartmouth, Keswick, Scarborough coming in at number 8, Fyne at number 9, and so on. I mean, any surprises there in terms of the range? I was surprised that Whitby was number 1, actually.
No, not really, because, I mean, Whitby has so much, you know, it has the river coming through, the Esk River goes through, Captain Cook's related to Whitby, you've got the Abbey, the beautiful Abbey up on the right-hand side. You've even got a kipper smoking house.
Ooh,
as well.
That sounds
so
nice.
If you love kippers, you know, you can even go and see them and buy them. And also it's famous for Whitby Jet. And it's a lovely, lovely, lovely resort. You know, Whitby, Scarborough and Filey, I think, are the jewels of the Yorkshire coast, really.
Well, very
and
much
that,
so.
That region that they're in, that North Yorks and North York Moors and Coast region, that's the kind of top. It's the number 4 in terms of the region.
Yeah.
So whilst we've got this top list of destinations, they're kind of like anchor towns for a lot of the region.
Uh-huh.
You know, you get to somewhere like, you know, southwest England, and it's the little small places where people actually stay rather than the larger towns.
Yes.
So, you know, there's some fantastic regions out there. Southwest England top, North Wales, which is out the activity capital of Europe. With
Snowdonia.
All the, exactly. You can climb Snowdonia, but you can zip about on wires.
Yeah.
You can do things down in caverns.
Uh-huh.
There's railways galore, hiking galore. And then Cumbria Third, which is really your Lake District area.
Of course,
Still drives absolutely phenomenal numbers of visitors.
And there's nothing like taking a boat on Lake Windermere, is there really, Bob? It's
no,
beautiful.
Not at all. Yeah. Interesting, the fastest growing regions in the that we've got. And those are the Cotswolds.
Uh-huh.
So Cotswolds, that central England area, that is really moving up a lot.
Uh-huh.
Southwest England is growing still, and places like Cumbria. But places like Mid Wales, people exploring areas maybe they're not as used to or haven't been to before. And even places like Central Scotland, which I think of Central Scotland, I just think of that motorway between Glasgow and Edinburgh. But actually get off that into the hills.
Of course.
Some wonderful places.
Yeah. And of course you've got the islands, haven't you? The Isle of Skye and Mull.
Heaven.
Beautiful.
Heaven.
Yeah, really
and some lovely little cottages you can stay in places like that. Soak it up, explore those beaches, which if you get the weather right, like this weekend, it's like the Caribbean.
Yeah, just make sure you put your cream on.
Definitely.
I've just sound advice. We do not need Vic and Bob anymore.
There we go.
It's going to be Brendan and Bob.
Brendan and Bob.
Brendan and Bob.
Rolls off the tongue so well, doesn't it?
Bob and Brendan. Bob and Brendan.
Yeah, it'll be just fantastic.
B&B.
There's a whole new world from that point of view, gentlemen. Is there a website that you recommend people should actually be checking out to find out further information about?
Sykes Holiday Cottages have a wonderful website. Sykes Cottages is the actual website, but Sykes Holiday Cottages is the company. And they have wonderful cottages. All in the areas that we've mentioned, from two people, a romantic break, to a big family gathering. There's massive, massive choice on their website, and also all the areas. And they do suggest as well on their website that if you book for a limited time only, you only have to pay £20 deposit, which is really good. As a Yorkshireman, that's
fantastic. There we go. There we go.
And we didn't even talk about the Golden Triangle. We're heading up next week to Harrogate to actually cover the Spring Flower Show.
Don't forget Betty's.
Betty's of Harrogate.
You've got to have a cake and a cup of tea.
There we go.
But I hope your expense account's big, because Betty's isn't cheap.
Well, not quite as big as other colleagues who perhaps go elsewhere.
I've done Betty's in York. That was nice.
worth every. Harrogate is the pièce de résistance in their restaurants.
Yeah.
And make sure you sit upstairs, not downstairs,
exactly.
So you can be near the piano.
Yeah.
And I don't care how expensive it is such a wonderful
experience.
Yeah.
Do it.
And don't forget, have a fat rascal when you get to Harrogate.
Of course.
Have a fat rascal with a lot of butter on it.
What is that to southerners like me? Is that a scone, is it?
It is an extraordinary, wonderful thing.
It's a big fat scone, yeah.
Oh.
With cherries, it's beautiful.
Lovely.
Fat rascal.
I would have actually sort of presented Abby with a fat rascal if she was staying, but she can't join us next week.
Cover up.
There we are. That's, gentlemen, it's been fantastic sharing some thoughts with yourself. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us this morning? Has it been good for both of you?
We have, Alex.
Thank
you. Been lovely.
Well, next question is, can we prevail upon you to join us again? Will you keep us appraised of Matters, Holiday and more in the near future? Will you return?
Definitely, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
And I might talk to you later on in the year, actually.
Hey.
Let's do it.
Clue. Towards Christmas.
Whoa.
Time,
yeah,
well, I won't be here. We're going to do some special arrangements.
Oh, yes, I will.
Oh, yeah. No, you won't. Let's, a round of applause, please, for Brendan Sheeran and Bob Atkinson. Hurrah!
Thank you very much.
Joys of foot tapping songs by Miss Ciccone. Madonna and Holiday there, which, of course, if you were sharing the coach with Brendan Sheeran and Bob Atkinson, you'd have a whale of a time. Still to come on the programme, Kristen Tensler from Visit Berlin. We'll be talking about what they're getting together in Berlin for the 30th anniversary of the Berlin Wall later on in the year, the fall of the Berlin Wall. And somebody who's been to Berlin and, of course, is one of our ace resident experts. And we said, don't worry, he's not on his regular slot, but he's back at his slightly different time slot today. For 1 week only. It's Richard Fitzwilliams. How are you, Richard?
No, well, I'm very well indeed, and indeed when it comes to Berlin, yes, there is so much to see. It's absolutely essential that you get an idea of the vast economic power of Germany by taking a river trip and seeing the new ministries. It's quite awesome as well, of course, as seeing the famous museums and also the monuments.
Richard, the news is coming up. We have to say farewell. Speak to you in 2 minutes because the news waits for no person.
FM. Online. Mobile. This is
18 degrees centigrade, lows of 7 degrees centigrade. It's going to be a day in Lincoln, at least, of sunny intervals with a moderate breeze. Don't go gluing yourself to any particular part of Lincoln, please. Even if you are protesting about climate change, it's not going to do your skin any good at all if you start gluing yourself to the cathedral. I mean, I know, Richard, you're very tempted to glue yourself to the National Portrait Gallery, but you're not going to do it, are you?
Well, yes, you're right. Rather a tempting thought, actually.
Or Buckingham Palace.
Yes. They have a fascinating collection of portraits. And all. You know, you could get to know the different ages and remember who was who in past eras if you were in the National Portrait Gallery for quite a while, yes.
Well, certainly Ben Lewis, because his voice that you've just heard will possibly be joining me when we return to London to catch up with you, and, of course, the Sci-Fi London Film Festival on the 16th of May, all being well. Abigail LeMay, we'll be back in Canada then, so there we are. It's just one of those.
I was just suggesting the possibility of popping into the Royal Society of Portrait Painters at the time. Might be an idea.
I'm good to go with respect to that. Ben, did you want to share with Richard how you heard him broadcasting on another station?
I was doing my essay the other day, Richard. Mm. I was listening to Julia Hartley Brewer, you know, all being well, everything's going well, and suddenly I hear a familiar voice come on the airwaves. Yeah, talking about etiquette in people's homes.
Indeed. Oh, yes, that was always enjoyable to chat to Julia. She and I have a different perspective when it comes to the monarchy, but it's always entertaining. And also, she's a very high-profile journalist, and talk radio have quite a lot of them. I'm quite frequently on, and there are a lot of topics, but it's rather fun to discuss not just the royals, but also the things we don't like about guests. I mean, especially when they are so self-indulgent, they actually dare to take calls when they should be talking to you, this sort of thing. It was very enjoyable.
Yeah. I'm glad I didn't do that in your company then, Richard.
You're too busy getting Richard to actually watch trailers on
there him. There we go, exactly. Exactly thing. That.
Okay.
An absolutely ruinous thing, and on the subject of trailers, here's a wonderful example where they've been so careful. Not even the cast of Game of Thrones actually know how it ends, apparently, or how at least some scenes end, because they've been having multiple scripts. I mean, that is a wonderful way of making sure that you simply don't give the spoilers we, none of us should, if we're sane, want to see. I mean, I have to say, Game of Thrones, I mean, it was a thoroughly enjoyable episode, but, I mean, you weren't obviously looking for pearls of wisdom in some of the dialogue. I rather enjoyed the dragon trip with Daenerys and her and Jon. I mean, it was very good fun, but we're waiting, of course, for the gigantic climactic battle at Winterfell between the living and the dead, and we're also wondering how Cersei is getting on and what nefarious plots she played by Lena Headey, who was always very alluring, I find, what she gets up to. But one of the interesting aspects of Game of Thrones, if they really, really have taken such labyrinthine precautions against spoilers, and that is the best way. You don't want trailers which give you a subliminal flash of every spectacular scene in the whatever film is trying to attract you to, so that you get lured. No, not at all.
Let's just test that, Richard. Abigail LeMay, trailers, do you like to watch them, or do you think, no, too many spoilers?
I don't like trailers, but I have a lot of friends who like trailers. So I'm constantly seeing them. You know, I do like them in the theatres, but I don't like them if I'm just sitting at home scrolling through Facebook or whatever.
I mean, in a drama, it wouldn't matter, because you get supposedly just an idea of who's in it, and you shouldn't be given a clue as to what happens, so occasionally you are. It's in films that use the widescreen for any form of spectacle that it's fake for.
And Ben, I suppose you're a trailer bad person, really.
Oh, I don't tend to watch them that often. Mm. You think I might, but I think it's only for films I'm a little bit interested in. But like Richard, as long as they don't obviously give too much away, I think it's quite nice because it leaves you a bit of suspense and it makes you leaves you wanting more. But a lot of trailers, I think, I don't know, sometimes they just give so much away, you think, well, what's the point in watching the film now?
A few months ago, I was looking at a movie called Beast, which starred Jess Buckley, and I thought Jess Buckley was going to actually do some great things within the... She might well be the next Keira Knightley, if we're really fortunate. In Wild Rose, who knows what's going to happen with respect to Jess Buckley playing Glaswegian Rose Lynn Harlan. Maybe Richard will share with us. What do you make of Wild
indeed,
Rose?
No, I have to say that I totally agree with you that watching Beast, Jessie Buckley was an actress that was absolutely certain to go places, and Wild Rose is a captivating film. I absolutely loved it, and this is a movie where she really proves that, well, you can't take your eyes off her. I mean, a fascinating movie directed by Tom Harper, also rather a love letter to Glasgow, which is rather interesting. Not a city I have to say, I know, but nonetheless, a film that has really got a heart and is visually, I thought, exceptionally good. It's well scripted. It really, really involves you. We meet Rose Lynn Harlan, played by Jessie Buckley, when she's being let out of prison. She's a convicted criminal, and she has, whilst in prison, her two children are being looked after by her mother, Marion, played by Julie Walters. And putting it mildly, relations between them are bad, is a fair description. Also, Rose lives for country music. I mean, this is what's in her blood. The problem is that she has a family and no money. Also, she's got a tag, so it's limited what she's able to do. And she works as a cleaner, but she's working in the home of Susanna, played extremely well by Sophie Okonedo, who takes a liking to her and wants to help, not to actually lend her money to fulfill the dream of her life, which is to go to Nashville, the home of country music. The facts are she has so many obstacles in her way. What about the tag, where she has limited hours since she's been in jail? What about her kids? What's going to happen? What about the relationship with her mother? And can Susanna, who's a kindly soul and has plenty of money, can she actually help? Is it possible that Rose could get to Nashville? Is it possible also that she could break into the one thing she desperately wants to do? It's in her blood. It's her. But what about her kids? It's a complicated situation, but it's one that, as it evolves, I have to say, really captivated by a film I wholeheartedly recommend. It's got some good songs, too. Somewhat of a, it's a musical, because she writes her own music, and I mean, it's really
got country music. It's what Tessa Snart will obviously be eulogising about in forthcoming editions of Sound and Country Vision, I'm sure. And now, as we move from Let's Test the Waters with respect to Wild Rose, Ben, will you be checking out Wild Rose with Jessie Buckley?
Potentially.
Okay. And what about Abigail?
I don't think I will. No. I've seen the trailer before. No. It just doesn't interest me.
Glasgow, why would it?
Really? It's not that. I don't know what it is about it.
Just not Doc. And even Richard's review didn't actually help with that.
Sorry.
No.
Just doesn't appeal to me.
Well, maybe the tale of Stevie, a 13-year-old in 90s-era Los Angeles who spends his summer navigating between his troubled home life and a group of new friends. Maybe that might resonate. Is it the mid-90s? Come back to haunt us yet again, Richard?
Well, yes, because Jonah Hill is a performer that I've always admired. I mean, he can be an excellent as a nerd, and also he's always had screen presence. I didn't realize that. I mean, he directs and he writes it. It's a comedy drama of coming of age. We meet Stevie, played by Sonny Sujik, extremely well, I have to say, a 13-year-old boy who spends time with older skateboarders. He lives with an abusive brother, Ian, played by the excellent, and always an actor I'd recommend watching, Lucas Hedges, and he has a single mother, Dabney, who, well, she doesn't appear actually that much in the movie, played by Catherine Waterston. It's really about Cameron D. It's about finding yourself. It's about those first experiences. Those experiences involve drink, they involve drugs, they involve sexual experiences, and also with an abusive brother at home and a mother who's rarely around, it's this rather extraordinary, and this is where the movie draws you in, I have to say, a movie about primarily about the camera lead you discover whilst you're participating in a group activity, which you need at a particular time in your life, even if the people you're with or the guys you're with are, putting it mildly, pretty cool and pretty offbeat and involved in all sorts of activities, and indeed from time to time there are fights and the like. But it's the way this film's made that it has such winning ways. The music, the fact that you so frequently have a scene of skateboarding which can become lyrical if the right soundtrack, if the right music puts you in the mood. I do have to praise Sonny Shoudrick as Stevie. It's a wonderful discovery. He's, as I say, playing a 30-year-old, but exceptionally good actor. Also someone to watch. Lucas Hedges needs no further recommendation from me. There is one or two strange things in this movie. School doesn't seem to exist. If you aren't particularly attuned to street slang, you may find that you miss bits of dialogue, but I do have to say this movie has a certain realism. It has a heart. This is proven by what happens climactically. And for those who like coming-of-age movies, and there are quite a lot of them, we've got Eighth Grade, which was so heavily praised in the States, I mean, which premiered at Sundance coming up, they would enjoy this movie.
Mid-90s refers to the time period as opposed to the temperature, or is it both, Richard?
Well, you'll find out when you see the movie. It could be neither. You could have quite a surprise, actually. No, it could refer to something that one of the group makes to record what has been happening. The point being, if you're with a collection of zany characters, isn't it? Or wouldn't it be fun in future years to look back and actually have something to remember it all by? But no more spoilers.
No, of course. I mean, after all, if you're using skateboards as opposed to mobile phones, you're probably going to have all kind of injuries put together. And besides,
Injuries might indeed are dangers in all sorts of ways. But again, we have to be very, very careful of spoilers. I have to say, as I said, one of the reasons I enjoyed this movie is it really has got a heart. It's moving, and also, you know, there's a certain gritty realism about a lot of these scenes. So, whereas, I mean, the characters, obviously, Jonah Hill's written them with perhaps a knowledge personally of these, of this, I don't know, but there's no question that they seemed real, and that's something in when you see so many movies where the characters are contrived, where Hollywood screenwriters, you can see they've been labouring over creating them. I mean, it's not the same here at all. It has a spontaneity that I'd recommend if you like the sort of film.
Well, Abigail apparently seemed to be captured by the trailer we were screening, obviously, whilst you were chatting about that. Abigail, are you a secret skater?
No, I wish I was. I'd love to start skating. But I'm
skateboarder,
really
to be precise, I suppose.
Bored.
Skateboarder.
Oh, skateboarding. Not bored of skating. No, I do ice skating, but I'd love to do skateboarding. However, I think this movie sounds great, but I think it sounds great because I really loved the movie Skate Kitchen, which is almost the exact same thing.
Really?
Except it's a female cast.
Well.
And it's a female director.
Well said, Abigail.
Pretty sure it was released the
They've
same year.
They've ripped it off, Richard, clearly.
Well, I'm all a female cast, a female director is music to my ears because there are nothing like enough female directors. Indeed, the numbers of films produced by women, it's still terrifyingly low. It's something like 10% in Hollywood. I mean, I
and when they make a movie about skateboarding, then you get a couple of blokes who actually rip them off and call it mid-90s. Outrageous.
Well, whatever they make it of, the facts of the matter are it must be encouraged. I mean, it may be necessary to set up a special fund for this, because in Britain it's as bad as the States. I mean, it is true that I think a larger percentage of films directed by women, rather than larger than the 10%, actually get into cinemas. At least that's been my experience. When I've been choosing two films a week to review, I think I don't know what the percentage is, but it's certainly, I think, frankly, a little more than that. Facts of the matter are, however, that is a terrible statistic. It's awful.
I was shocked. No sign of Shazam or indeed Hellboy this week. I do have a sense, though, and I was calling on my inner Doctor Strange powers to actually do this, that actually next week Avengers Endgame may make an appearance. Just have a thought about that. Just may.
Well, you never know what may or may not affect when we're on baby watch, because I might see half the film and then I've got to make sure that there's not been a birth.
I mean, it's good to know that even though the wonderful Meghan Markle has actually said to the Queen's traditional purveyors of children in the royal family, the obstetricians, etc., no, go away, you men in suits. I'm bringing in my own people, including my mother. That she hasn't said, go away, Richard Fitzwilliams. Clearly, that's part of key.
Well, firstly, I would be careful about believing what you read.
In the Daily Mail? In the Daily Mail, Richard?
I mean, if you actually just do a little Google, and you'll find the most outrageous claims of what she said or supposed to have said. The Queen's gynecologist, I mean, the two involved, Thorpe Beeston and Farthing, are likely to be there. In what particular roles, I don't know.
Innocent bystanders, probably. Innocent bystanders.
It could be that, it could be a home birth, could be a birth in a National Health Hospital, could be a birth in a private hospital, could be anything. I mean, we're not being told, as you know. And all we know is there will be a photo call, that they want privacy at this very special moment. The important aspect, of course, is that, and the reason they can do this is because the baby Sussex will be seventh in line to the throne. So bearing that in mind, what Meghan is doing is reverting back to the royal tradition of privacy, pre-social media, of course, where babies were born in palaces.
Well, hashtag shocked. Moving on, Wild Rose, obviously, sort of thumbs up. Mid-90s, Ben, would you be checking mid-90s at?
Well, I was a mid-90s child myself, then potentially. But I think for me, maybe not. I'll watch it if it's on, sort of thing.
And Game of Thrones? Are you a Game of Thrones?
I've never watched an episode of Game of Thrones, although obviously we do know a host of people who are in it. So, and I feel like I'm missing out for like that 1% who haven't actually watched it yet.
In fact, I mean, it's not, obviously, it's a good deal more than 1%. The point is not the percentage you haven't watched it. The point is the amazing numbers you have. But obviously, this sort of movie, it's a fantasy mixture of Star Wars, Robin Hood, El Cid, The Lord of the Rings.
With dragons.
The dragons are extremely important. I mean, Harry Potter, you could say. I mean, they're... somehow
there's more bare bosoms in Game of Thrones than in Harry Potter, I feel.
It's quite amazing to find an orgy of that sort. Exactly. You certainly see far less nudity in mainstream cinema now for obvious reasons.
Well, there you go. And Abby, are you a Game of Thrones watcher at all?
No.
There we are. You can ask Richard those last two questions, though, because it'll be your last time, probably, for the foreseeable future.
For sure. Mm. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
I most certainly have.
Wonderful. And will you be joining us again?
Absolutely. Royal babies permitting, of course. You never know what may happen.
Exactly. Cue Mr. Micklewhite.
I am Michael Caine. Trying very hard to keep my fingers clean. I can't remember straight at you. He had to sacrifice his pride, yes, throw it all away.
I am Michael Caine.
The Midweek Drive Morning Edition today, we'll find out what Abigail's thoughts of the British Isles have been as she prepares to actually head off. And we'll also be talking, hopefully, to William Sitwell. We don't know, we can't reach him at present. Apparently he's out and about. But we will be talking, as promised, to Christian Tensler, who, of course, is the main man in
there,
charge of the joys of Visit Berlin. I think so.
Berlin is drowning me in and out my mind. Go!
an absolute delight to be able to connect with our fantastic guest, Christian Tensler from Visit Berlin, because we know he's going to bring magical things to us. And when you bear in mind that 30 years ago, 30 Jahre, Berlin actually was celebrating the fall of the Berlin Wall, who better to talk about this whole process of culture, reunification, etc., than the aforementioned Christian Tensler. Guten Morgen, Christian. Wie geht es?
Good morning, Alex.
Good to hear your dulcet tones once again. Now, 2019, as we said, 30 years since the Berlin Wall came down. It was responsible for so many cultural aspects in terms of the spy genre, in terms of Checkpoint Charlie, in terms of iconic moments. Obviously, lots of human tragedy as well, people being split apart, families being split apart, and so on. Talk us through the commemorations that Berlin's planning to actually celebrate and commemorate the past and present of this event.
Yeah, it's exactly a mix of both. We would like to commemorate because a lot of people had to suffer with the wall, the division not only of the city, also of families, of friendships. This is the first part of the week, the first week in November we are going to celebrate. And the second part is more, we want to highlight and to celebrate the peaceful revolution we had at the 9th of November.
And that was really critical at the time, as I recall, that actually it was very much a peaceful revolution. It was something where nobody really expected it to happen. Certainly at the start of the 80s, probably the last thing people would have actually thought would by the end of the decade that the Berlin Wall would actually be coming down.
Yeah, exactly. If you would have asked me at the 8th of November in 89, I would say I will never experience the fall of the wall in my lifetime. And it came really more or less by coincidence. There were riots in the east, of course, but it was so astonishing. It was really breathtaking.
Lots of crowds, of course, using hands, pickaxes, sledgehammers and shovels. I think even today, Christian, it's fair to say you can still get pieces of rock that claim to be from the original Berlin Wall. Is that still being sold to tourists on the basis of this? This is an authentic aspect of the Berlin Wall itself.
Yeah, you can buy pieces of the wall. There are still some pieces remained. There were some very, very smart entrepreneurs when the war came down, and they saved a lot of the pieces, and you can buy it, yeah. And it's, to be honest, it's one of our most sold piece and giveaway people buy in our shops.
I seem to recall it was David Hasselhoff who also took credit for being one of the performers who actually did the event at the time. I think also our very own Rob Shrug from the band Shrug, or Rob Nichols, was also there as well. In the studio, you've got a young man who wasn't born when the Berlin Wall came down, because he's a millennial in all sorts of ways. That's wonderful Ben Lewis. Ben, any questions you want to put to Christian?
Morning, Christian.
Good morning.
Yeah, I mean, the Berlin Wall, firstly, I've not been to Berlin yet, so it's on my list to do.
You have to change that.
I really want to, and very soon, honestly. However, just to give us a bit of an overview of the Berlin Wall, how much has it changed since the demise of the wall? You know, do you see differences on both sides of the original border now?
Yeah, the city has grown together. I mean, the interesting thing in Berlin are the contrasts. On one hand, it is a very vibrant city, and there was a huge development in terms of economy, in terms of gastronomy, for example. So you can see that the city has grown together. On the other hand, you can still see a lot of wounds of the Second World War and of the division. And there are pieces of the wall you can visit, and you can experience how it was. There are original pieces in the north of the city. And there is another thing people might be interested. It is the longest open-air gallery. It is a piece of the wall which is painted from 103 different painting artists, which looks very nice. And it's another, I would say, it's another thing to how to see the wall. Another experience.
Often said, Christian, that there are two kinds of folk in the world. There are the people who wish to build bridges, and there are people who wish to build walls. And the people who build bridges make the connections. The people who actually build walls tend to separate themselves off from humanity. I won't comment on Donald Trump and his Mexico wall at present, but that Hadrian, of course, back in way back at the start of the first millennium and so on. The Berlin Wall itself... Whilst I can understand why it was very much produced by conflicting ideologies between communism and capitalism, was it something which ultimately did more harm than good for, obviously, Europe as a whole?
I think at the end, how it turned out, it was the end of the Cold War, when the war came down. And I think that's exactly the reason what you mentioned before. There are people who are going to build walls again. That's exactly the reason why we have decided to celebrate this first November week with our guests and with all the Berliners in this way of commemoration and of a festival of music. So we have both. We want to show that freedom is possible, that walls should be teared down, and that a peaceful living together of different cultures is possible. And I think Berlin is a very, very good symbol for this. You can feel the spirit still in the city.
Absolutely. I mean, it's the Soviet Union at the time, of course, who were looking after East Germany. They claimed the wall was being built to prevent Western spies from entering East Germany. Actually, it was being constructed more to prevent citizens from leaving East Germany for West Germany and so on. And so it goes. Now, in terms of this music festival, Christian, talk to us about it and why we should book our tickets, obviously, for November. And Ben, hopefully, if he's not sort of busily engaged with work in various parts of the country, will probably make his way there. And who knows, report for Siren Radio as well.
Yeah, we are going to build up 7 different stages in the city. Altogether, this will be the biggest music stage in the world for one weekend. And the 9th of November this year is a weekend, so welcome to everybody to spend a long weekend, or maybe if you're free, a whole week.
Exactly.
There we go.
Whatever happens with the other B words that's taking place, and again, it's due to be sorted out on October 31st. Just don't worry about that. You know, we'll just have to make our way through that. Ben, any other questions you want to share with Christian?
Yeah. So obviously, you've said, and I believe that there's still bits of the wall left up in Berlin. Do you think it serves as a reminder or a lesson learned from the past, and where not to return to?
Of course, as you are young people, haven't had this experience with a divided city. And I think Berlin should give an example to the world how a peaceful revolution can change the world. It is hope. At the end, it is hope we want to give to the people.
And I hope it's probably the most important legacy that perhaps the demise of the Berlin Wall has actually left us with. Christian, best place to go to find out further information, which website would you point us to?
Visitberlin.com.
Visitberlin.com.
And if you're coming to Berlin, let me give you a very interesting tool, because we were talking so much about history. We have a very nice app which is called About Berlin, and you have stories behind the history. In a very nice way, it's documents of photos of printed things, of videos as well. And you can experience the history of Berlin and the history of Europe at the end in a very nice way.
Well, Christian, we knew it was going to be fantastic sharing some thoughts with your good self as ever. It's been a delight. Can we speak again in the very near future? Will you join us once more to keep us appraised of all matters to do with Berlin from, of course, Visit Berlin?
Thank you so much.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Torso, buy a bag of balloons with the money we've got. Set them free at the break of dawn. Till one by one they were gone. Back at base, box in the software, flash the message. Something's out there, floating in the summer sky. 99 red balloons go by. We'll be right back.
And there's only so much fun we can actually talk about when we speak about Berlin, and thanks to Christian Tensler from Visit Berlin for that. And of course, Nena and 99 Luftballon. William Sitwell, it's the curse of Podium One, clearly. That, I mean, when Katie Grimerson texted me to say, William Sitwell's on Pointless, I was so excited. I had to go straight again for the whole thing. The whole show. I mean, and there was William with Grace Tent, a sort of dynamic duo, but it was Podium One. I'm thinking, oh no, they're on Podium One, the curse of Podium One. Should we mention New Zealand?
Well, the New Zealand potato growers are very happy.
Well,
I thought it was, if people don't know what we're talking about, I mean, the idea was to name the world's biggest potato producers.
Exactly.
And I did surmise that since New Zealand is a fantastic agricultural nation,
precisely,
that maybe they produce quite a lot of potatoes.
Exactly.
But I was wrong.
I mean, it's the obvious one's Ireland, isn't it?
Would a high score, Ireland. You know, everybody seemed to go to South America following William. They went Peru, they went Chile.
Yeah,
they
that
went,
was just cheating, you see. That was just cheating,
yes,
that's all.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly, yeah. I felt the pain, William. I felt the pain, and I just thought, oh, my word. But, you know, I think Alexander Armstrong, if he could have rewritten the rules, he would have actually said, look, we've got to refilm this, resort it through, you know.
Very true.
But a very brave attempt, and I thought you did well. And we look forward to your next sort of drive forward. At least the one thing is we have the consolation of knowing that, thankfully, the Telegraph are now sponsoring women, William's supper nights, if I can spread the words in various other ways.
Good
partnership. So where are we today, William? Where do we find you?
Well, right now I'm in front of a sign that says temporary obstruction, 50 minutes delay. They're fixing potholes. By my village in Northamptonshire.
Good.
Gluing themselves to the potholes,
yeah,
are they?
Are there any climate change protesters there who feel, we can't be doing with William flying off to various other countries, we need to glue ourselves to parts of the land?
Do you know, I was cycling through London yesterday, and I'm very glad that I was cycling, that's all I can say.
Mm, yeah.
Because it was a disaster, it was a standstill.
We're just losing you for a bit there, basically, William, but never mind, perhaps the signs signifying all sorts of other species. Very important time today, William. Not only have we got to reflect on the William Weighs In comment, which I thought was very nice, because he basically says, it's all very well talking about European products in our restaurants, but what about British products over in European restaurants? Fair point, well made, I thought. But Abigail, who you may recall, you actually said, get off your bike, Abigail, go and actually make your own eggs and omelettes, etc. It's her last Midweek Drive Morning Edition before she does indeed head off to Greece via Switzerland and then back to Canada.
Well,
yep. I think we've probably just got about a few glimpses of that in the sort of sequence of that point of view. We may well be losing William. Shall we try again, William? Shall we try and call you again and see if we can get a better line, or is this about as good as it's going to get?
There we go.
Yeah,
that's our answer.
That's pretty much it, really. Yeah, that's pretty much as good as we actually get. So I tell you what, Ben, would you if I give you the number, would you like to dial William up and I'll sort of
dial William up?
Well, exactly. You can use
what a privilege.
Use this little device here. It's called a telephone. I know you might sort of find it quite strange in this sort of modern era world from that point of view. And if you'd like to dial the number which I'm pointing to there, we'll see whether he can actually connect. And I will actually ask Abigail, what have your highlights been of your time with the Midweek Drive, your time in Lincoln, various other sort of things, your time over here in the east, shall we say, as opposed to the west of Canada. What sort of things would you like to sort of take away with you as those memories that are made of this?
Wow. Well, this is all happening so fast. I have not had time to reflect on my time here.
Mm-hmm.
I would say what I remember most from Siren, I think, would be... I mean, of course, I know this was recent, but I would say the science fiction convention that we went to, because I've never done that before. But I've just been really glad to meet all of these new people through the show.
And see Ben's using a telephone. I mean, this is what we're hearing now. He's wondering, is he dialing 9? Is he dialing that
really
one?
Proud of him.
Who knows?
I think he would know how to do this.
It is good. I mean, I do think it's nice. It's nice to see that one of our graduates who may be heading for first class honours will hopefully now say, William Sitwell, we've now actually restored you back to the routine. Ben has worked his magic. He's dialed you up.
We were just caught in midstream there asking for Abigail's highlights of her time in Britain. I don't know if you'd like to follow through with that, or if you have any advice for Abigail to take back to Canada.
Just be nice about us, because we're a glorious nation and we want to hear good report. We want to hear that you're going to report well on us. Speak well of this fine country.
Hmm.
Of course.
I think that hopefully goes without saying, but at the same time, it's well worth noting, William, and I'm pleased you actually mentioned that. Ben, when last William was on the show, which was a week ago, you were in the midst of doing a Viva, which you managed to pass with first class honours, which is good from that point of view. So it's your time now to actually chat with the Sikormeister about anything.
In fact, actually, we've been having a very short debate in the studio, but just before we came to talk to William.
William, you are critical to this point, it has to be said.
So. Now, We're having a debate that you can enjoy some soggy foods.
Mm. It wasn't a debate. It was me stating that nothing is good soggy, and you're doing everything you can in your power to prove me wrong.
He's gone.
I'm determined to find out what he thinks. One more for luck.
You want to try them again? Okay, that's.
Yeah.
Shall we? I'll let you do it one more time. Okay, this is fine. I
think that was.
It's coming round to quarter to ten. It's Abigail's final show, and we've reached the stage of having to battle about soggy foods with an award-winning writer called William Sitwell. Never mind. There we are. I think you should be able to do it now, Ben, and you'll need the number, of course, as well. So I'll pass that up to you there.
I think honestly that was the answer.
Yeah.
He started talking about.
He just switched.
Ben trying to prove me wrong again.
This is true. Never mind. You know, it won't all end like this. Don't worry. There will be good things to come through from that point of view. He will be sorted through. Are we connecting with this? Are we good to go?
We're good to go.
Okay, very briefly then, William, because it needs to be brief. Soggy foods. What is your view as far as soggy foods? Is Abigail right? Is there no such thing as good soggy food?
Well, it depends, because I think if you make a nice sponge cake and you cover it with custard, it becomes nice and soggy and warm, delicious and deep and lovely, then I think that's completely legitimate.
We were thinking of things like spinach as well, or... I don't know.
What
else do we suggest?
Tuna.
You suggested tuna.
I did suggest tuna. Never mind.
Or beans or Weetabix. Weetabix as well.
No.
But you're not a soggy food fan. It needs to be crisp. Is that the statement?
I'm a crisp gal. I am not one for it. But then again, I do love sponge cake, so he might have gotten me there.
William, as we knew you would, you've delivered on the third attempt and the third sort of line forward. It's been fantastic. And so, Abigail, you have the honour of asking William those last two final questions. Off you go.
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
All three of them, in many ways.
Well, yeah, I mean, to be on your show three times.
Yes. Consecutively, you smashed the record.
I mean, you've done it.
Yeah.
You've done it, you've made it.
Even Angela Rippon only managed two in a row once, you know, but, you know,
third time three. Lucky applies.
Whoa.
I think it's been reasonably interesting.
Yeah, it's like a consecutive prison sentence.
Exactly.
One hell of a punishment.
That's how many of our guests describe it.
Steady on. And?
And will you be joining us again?
Yes, I have no doubt.
Thank you. Well, happy Easter to come, William, because next week I think following the Telegraph, obviously, in terms of Easter foods and various other bits and pieces, we might be talking about. Are you a hot cross bun fan, William?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do like them, and I like them with a bit of butter and some Marmite.
That's a nice takeaway from the whole thing. A round of applause for William. So, well, the tenacity in the face of continually connecting, and here's hot chocolate.
Some kind of fool who believes begging on my knees is gonna bring you back. I know it's not a fact.
I knew Amy was going to say a farewell to Abigail, and he didn't let us down. You know, he came out and he said the words, and oh, Amy, I think you can do it again, just one more time, a little bit more oomph, please. Exactly. I knew you'd appreciate that, Ben.
Of course. No.
Okay, we will be back next week. When I say we, that's probably going to be Ben and myself and probably Eloise. Abigail, are you in Greece next week?
I am.
Oh, so you could technically do a phoner, couldn't
I'll
you?
I'll be in Mykonos. So really? Just keep in touch with me via text or email.
Right.
And I'll let you know if I'm available.
Okay.
It's expensive text for you, though.
Don't expect me Thursday morning, though.
Of course not.
I will be sleeping in.
Yeah.
Probably hungover on wine.
Yeah.
And feta cheese.
Hungover on feta cheese.
Remember
not to have it soggy.
Oh my god.
There we go.
Could be.
Tip of the day.
Thanks to Gabriella Peralta, Ruth Hancock, Ruth Hancock and Lindsay Acroma. Is it Lindsay Acroma? Lindsay Acroma. Who was our queen of clean that was actually on in the first part of the programme? Lindsay, anyway. Thanks to Lindsay, our queen of clean. Brendan Sheeran, of course, Bob Atkinson, Richard Fitzwilliams, William Sitwell, Ian Lennox, and Abigail LeMay, and Ben Lewis. That's it. We're pretty much out of here. What should we say? We can't say Happy Easter because it is...
Happy Hamster.
Happy Hamster Day.
Or Happy Abigail.
Not Monday Thursday.
Oh.
Okay, what the hey. Happy Abigail LeMay
Day. Well, I can't say it, though.
No. Well, you can.
Yes, you can. It's your day.
Yes.
Precisely.
Yes, you can.
Okay, 1, 2, 3. Happy Abigail LeMay Day.
Oh, it's weird.
There's a certain sound always follows me around. When you're close to me, you will hear it. It's the sound that lovers hear when they discover there could be no other for their love. It's my
never felt before. You have changed my life so completely. Music fills my soul now. I've lost all control now. I'm not half, I'm whole. With your love, it's my happy hour here, singing loud and singing clear, and it's all because you're near me, my love. Take my happy heart away, let me
do something a little different on your Saturday afternoon, why not tune in to Mix and Match?